The book of 1 John. 1 John chapter 1. And as you find 1 John chapter 1, just a little ways back into your word from Revelation, the first epistle, the first letter from John. And would you stand in honor of reading his word? We began at the beginning of this chapter, and let's just go back and recap a couple of verses, as we're going to be concentrating on verses 8, 9, and 10 today. But let's go back and read from verse 4. It says, "And these things we write to you that your joy may be full." I like that one. You remember and we realize that God wants our joy to be what? Minimal? Empty? Full. Verse 5 says, "This is the message which we have heard from him and declare to you, that God is light, and in him is" how much darkness? No darkness at all. "If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in the darkness, we lie and we do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ his son cleanses us from all sin." Verse 8 is our focus. 9 and 10, he said, "If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we've not sinned, we make him," that capital H, God, "we make him a liar and his word is not in us." Father, would you not only bless the reading of your word to our hearts, but as we prayed just a moment ago, Lord, to the obedience of our life, our feet. And if you will agree with that prayer, would you say amen? And please be seated. Last week, we started an understanding of trying to bridge the gap that we as sinners, that we as those who have broken God's law, need to bridge the gap to God, that we have a problem. We want to have fellowship with God. And it talked about having fellowship with God, walking in the light, but we realize that we have a difficulty. And we said that we need to overcome that sin to have fellowship with God. And we looked at a couple of ways that man tries to overcome that gap. And one of them, and the first one we talked about last week, was that we cannot bring God down to our level. And aren't you glad? Thank you, God, that he is immovable, that he is unable to sin. We talked last week about this, and one of the things we talked about, just as a recap, was understanding that some folks try to bring God down to their level, saying, you know, I'm walking with God, I love God, God loves me, and God just doesn't mind my sin too much. And you remember what we said about that? We said that's just an outright, according to the word, a lie. God does mind. The truth is that God will not accept our sin, amen? He does not, will not, has never, and will ever accept our sin. There's only one way that God accepts us, and it's not because of our sin, but it's because of the coverage of our sin by his son. Amen? So let's get there. Since God is saying that he doesn't accept sin, and we realize that there's a gap between us and God, let's just suppose that you're a child of God. I hope and I pray that you are. If you're a child of God and you are currently living in sin, but the light of God, which we talked about last week, walking in the light has made you see your sin. It reveals it to you. You become convicted. You realize that you've been wrong before God. Let me ask you, does that sin mean that you have lost your salvation? According to God's word, no. But what does that mean then? We talked about the shirt. You remember the shirt, guys? You know, you go to your closet, you walk out of your closet, and your wife looks at you and she says, "You're not going to wear that, are you?" And we understand that we are about to change. We remember this because it happens to us Okay, it happens to me regularly. But you also can come out of the closet with a shirt and realize that it's dirty. We talked about this last week, that in the dark of the closet, you look great. But when you come out into the light, the stain that was on the shirt that you didn't see is revealed. Now, when light reveals the stain on your shirt, when light reveals the stain, you've got two options, male or female, you've got two options. You can deny the stain, or you can deal with the stain. Now, it happens, and you go, well, surely folks don't deny it. Oh, come on, you live with us men long enough, you know we deny the stain. It's just a part of life. You know, we look at it, and us guys look at it and go, well, it's not that bad. I don't think anybody's going to notice that. It's not really all that bad. Or it's bad enough we just go, you know, I really don't care. I'm wearing this shirt anyway. And that's how we often will handle sin. Is it not? Oh, it's not that bad. Or we say, I really don't care. I'm going to wear it anyway. That's one way that we can deal with the dirt. Or there's another way, and that is quit denying it and deal with it. There is nothing worse to me. I don't know why my morning seems to start out in a more difficult manner when I get dressed and I'm ready to go, and then all of a sudden I have to change. But we handle the dirty life in much the same way. Are we going to quit denying that we've got stains, or are we going to deal with it? God's word tells us that we only deceive ourselves when we're wearing a dirty life. Do we think God doesn't see it? I wonder, have you ever had something that from lunch maybe fell on the front of your shirt and you got this glob and you went back to the office with it? And we can walk around and pretend it's not there, and everybody's just going, don't they know that? Or something on your face? How is it that we so easily can deny the sin in our own life, but we think nobody else can see it either? God sees it, amen? Don't deny it. Listen, do not be fooled. God sees the sin. And I'm going to tell you, so does everybody else. Our sin is not so easily covered as we might think. You know what it's called? It's called a family truth. Because if you belong to God, but you're sinning, God is not going to treat you like the lost world and let you just go on about your way. But because you belong to Him, God sees your sin. He sees you're disobedient. And when you are disobedient and you belong to God, God takes you to what we've been calling the woodshed. Now, a lot of people out here don't have woodsheds anymore. But the woodshed was where you got taken back in the olden days to find a switch and take a licking. God will take you to His woodshed. He took King David to the woodshed, did He not? I could say He took Ananias and Sapphira to the woodshed, but He took them a lot further than the woodshed. Folks, God will not ignore our sin. And attempting to lower God to our standards does not work. Today I want us, now that was last week's sermon, so you just got to recap for free, okay? Today we're going to look at that second method that we use to attempt to bridge the sin gap. And that is that we attempt not just to bring God down to our level, but we attempt to raise man up to God's level, and that doesn't work either. We cannot bring man up to God's level. Listen, folks, I'm going to tell you what God's word tells us. Man can never be sinless. I'm always amazed, or maybe it's shocked, to hear when somebody tells me, you know, I've reached that point where I never sin anymore in my life. And I'm thinking, well, you just did. You just lied before God and man. Well, John dealt with that in verse 8. You got your Bibles open. Look at verse 8 again with me. In verse 8, it says, if we say that we have no sin, we what? We deceive ourselves. And the truth is not in it. We don't deceive God and we don't deceive others. Because I'm going to tell you, I don't care how many times somebody tells me that they've quit sinning, I know that's not true. It says we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. In verse 6, if you want to go back, it says that John said that if we say we have fellowship with God, but we are walking in the darkness, we're walking in sin, he says we're a liar. And now he says this, he says, if we say we have no sin, he says we're worse than a liar. We're worse off than someone who lies. How is that? He says, if you say you have no sin, if you say I have no sin, I do not sin, the Bible says that you're worse than a liar because you don't have the truth in you at all. Because you don't recognize truth. In other words, if we say that we're perfect, we're deceiving ourselves, not anybody else. You sure are not deceiving God or God's people. So if we deny our sin, we're only deceiving who? Ourselves. Here's an illustration. I heard a story about of a young man who was studying to go into the pastoral ministry. So he went to college and was going to begin his studies in college preparing for ministry. And when he went to college for the very first time, he met his roommate. Never knew his roommate till he got there. And this roommate seemed very nice, he said, but he was perfect. He knew that he was perfect because his roommate told him so. He said, I've come to the place in my life where I do not sin any longer. And this young minister said, I was shocked to know that, I was shocked to meet a guy who said he had never sinned and that it doesn't sin anymore. And he said, now, I've got to confess. He said, I lived in that room with him, and any place where I live, occasionally there's a problem. And he said, that's because I am sinful. And he said, sometimes there's trouble. But he said, in every place that he'd lived before this time, he said things had gone wrong once in a while, and sometimes it was his fault. He said the problem with his new roommate was this. He said every now and then there was a problem, but every time there was a problem, it was always his fault. Do you know why? Because his roommate was perfect. His roommate never sinned. He said, that was the hardest roommate to live with I've ever had in my life. He said, at the end of the semester, he was able to change. And he said, I was never so glad to move in with a sinner in all my life. There was another man who told his pastor. He said, Pastor, I just want you to know that I have come to the place in my life last night through prayer and through study and through seeking the heart of God. I have finally come into the state of my life where I know longer sin. And the pastor said, oh, really? And he said, yes, sir, that's correct. I have arrived at that place. Well, it wasn't too long after that that this pastor was talking to this man's neighbor. And this man's neighbor told him, he said, my neighbor, he didn't attend his church, but he happened to meet him somewhere. And he said, my neighbor goes to your church. He told me that he no longer sins anymore. But he said, he got mad at me about something about our property line. And he chewed me out, fussed me out, and gave me all kinds of grief. He said, yelling and screaming and hollering. And he said, what would you call that? Well, that pastor confronted his member. And he said, your neighbor told me the other day that you fussed him out royally. And he said, I just want you to know, he said, if that's not sin, what is it? And he said, this guy looked him right in the eyes and said, it was just a mistake. It wasn't sin. Listen, I want to tell you, if you make a mistake before God, anything that does not match up to God's perfection, there's just one word for it. Before God, and it's called sin. It means you have missed the mark before the Lord your God. Listen, who do we think we are deceiving when we say we have no sin? Do you think it's your neighbor? Do you think it's God? Listen, the Bible says there's only one person that you're fooling. And it's yourself. You don't deceive God. You don't deceive your neighbors. You don't deceive your friends. I can promise you that. John says that the truth is not in a man. like that because he cannot see that he's a sinner. Many people are trying that route today to bridge the gap to God, saying, well, I'm no longer a sinner, so God accepts me for where I'm at. Listen, there's a word for that. It's just called a lie of the devil, because we all have sin. Friend, let me just ask you this. If you feel that you've reached the stage of perfection where you no longer sin, men, if you come to that place where you think you no longer sin, I just got to tell you, first of all, I feel sorry for your wife. Because I'm going to tell you, it's awful hard to live with somebody who thinks they're perfect. Amen. What kind of roommate have you got? Ladies, if you think that you've come to that place of perfection, I feel sorry for your husband. Because, folks, we all need to confess to our sins. And if second thing is that John says, if we say that we are never wrong, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and that's not the last of it. Not only do we deceive ourselves, he says the truth is not in us. You see, there's a process in the life of a Christian. After you become saved, after you come to know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, there is a cleansing process, there is a growth process, and the Bible calls that sanctification. Sanctified. And I'm going to tell you this, sanctification is not an arrival. It is a lifetime process. Amen? It is an ongoing process, and you do not finish the process of sanctification until you die and go before the Lord and he gives you your heavenly body. And at that point, I guess you don't have to work on it anymore. But until then, guess what? We all need to work on it. Only God is perfect, and we cannot bring ourselves up to God's level. Not in this lifetime. It's impossible to reach perfection here. And all God's people said, amen. So, we cannot bring God down to our level, nor can we bring ourselves up to God's level. So, what are we going to do? We've talked about the two options that men seem to have in order to bridge the sin gap. You can't bring God down. We can't lift ourselves up. So what do we do? John gives us the answer right here in verse 9. Do you have your Bible? If this verse is not highlighted or memorized by you, you need to do both. Mark it in the Word. Verse 9, 1 John chapter 1, verse 9. He says, if we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Folks, this is the fourth time in this little passage that we have one of those if statements. The first one was in verse 6. He says, if we say we have fellowship but we're walking in darkness, you remember that one last week. And then verse 7, he says, if we walk in the light. And then verse 8 says, if we say we have no sin. Well, here's the fourth if statement in this passage. And verse 9 of chapter 1 says, if we confess our sin, then he is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. In other words, folks, confession of our sin is God's only method to bring sinful man back to a holy God. It's the only way. It's the only way you're going to be brought back to God. So let me just ask you this question. What does it mean to confess? Here's part of the problem. People don't know what it means to confess. What does it mean to confess our sins? The word confess from the Greek is called homologeo. Now all of that is just to tell you this, it's made up of two words. That first word, homo, means the same. Secondly, the word logeo means to say, to speak. So what does it mean, that word confess? It means to say the same thing. In other words, when you confess properly, you are agreeing with God that your sin is sin. Have you ever told a little white lie? Have you ever told a black one? Is there any difference? Before God, you know, sometimes I wonder, you know, I'm going to have to tell on my daddy. Because my dad said, son, he said, I know how much you like to eat. And he said, being a pastor, somebody's going to, one of these days, going to bring you a pie. And he said, they're going to bring you a pie. And he said, some people just don't know how to bake, son. And he said, they're going to bring you a pie, and you're going to find when you get into it that it's not very good at all. And he said, when they come back to you and they say, well, how did you like the pie? He said, what do you say? Do you lie? I said, Dad, I don't know. What do I say? He said, son, what did you do with that pie you didn't like? I said, it sat on the counter till we had to throw it out. None of y'all's pies, by the way. He said, then what do you say? He said, son, you look them right in the eye and say, boy, pies like that don't last very long at my house. I'm thankful that none of y'all have brought me a pie like that. You just keep on working on them, okay? That's... Folks, God's word says that to confess means that we agree with God in the same thing that he says, that our sin is sin. And we don't cover it up and say it's a little white sin, or it's not a bad sin, or it's a sin that was needed. Listen, sin is sin, and God says don't. And God says when you do, you've separated yourself from him, and you need to confess it. When God in his word says that the thing you did is sin, you are to agree with God and say, you're right, Lord. What you said is sin is wrong. It is sin. That's what it means to confess, because there are people out there today that are taking the word of God and they're taking things in here and they're going, oh, what this said is sin really isn't sin. It's okay. Or it's okay in this situation or that situation. But according to God's word, if it's wrong, it's wrong. And it's called sin, and sin separates us from God. One of the greatest needs, I believe, of the church today is to deal with our sin. All of our sin. Confession and repentance is God's way for us to deal with sin. Now, I've talked to Christians over the years. Being a pastor for 44 years, I've come across a lot of folks. And I've had people come to me and they've gotten in a big mess and they've come to me discouraged and they've confessed their failures. And then sometimes they've told me, they said, you know, I've failed and I've done wrong and I want to get things right and I want to serve God again. But listen, I have messed up. And I'm going to tell you, that's not a bad thing to confess to one another and ask for prayer. Amen. I mean, the scripture tells us in James chapter 5, confess your faults to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. But that's not where it starts and that's not where it finishes, dear friend, because you need to understand this. The best thing that you can do, the most wonderful thing that you can do when you fail, not if you fail, but when you fail, the best thing that you can do is to tell God about it. Confess it to the Lord God. That's confession. To say, God, what I did was wrong in your sight. It was wrong to your word. It was wrong for me. It was wrong before you. It was wrong before people. God, I did was wrong. Why? Because God wants you to come to him. His word set it up that way. God wants you to tell him that you failed and that you repent, that you're sorry for what you've done. He wants you to tell him that you were wrong. He wants you to tell him that you agree with him about your sin, that your sin is sin. Go to God. He is your heavenly Father. I'm not your father. I'm your friend. I'm your pastor. I'm the one who prays with you and for you. And if I do anything other than teaching you to go straight to the Lord God for the cleansing of your sin, then I've taught you wrong. I don't want to teach you wrong. Go to God. You are his family. Amen? You are His child. Seek His help. Why? Because when you sin, you lose fellowship with God. You lose fellowship with God. You don't lose your salvation if you belong to Him. And you sin, you don't lose your salvation, but you certainly lose your fellowship. And dear friend, I want you to know this. You can have your fellowship restored. How? So you said, I want that fellowship with God restored. I want it back. I want that feeling I had when I got saved. I want that feeling I had when I got cleansed. I want that joy back in my heart and my life. Let me tell you, John told you what to do right here in 1 John chapter 1, verse 9. Confess your sins, and then God is faithful and just to forgive your sins and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. I may have told you this story. I'm sure I have. There's not many that I haven't told you. But years ago, I was in my first pastorate in a great big place called Richards, Texas. It's just up the road, about an hour. Anybody been there? Richards, Texas. The association was coming to our church. All the pastors from the church were supposed to have the annual meeting at our little church. And they asked me, Pastor Gary Ladd, to share the scripture to start the meeting. They told me 1 year before the meeting. 1 year. And I said, you know what? I'm going to bring a scripture that knocks your socks off. I'm going to find that little scripture out of Amos, you know, or Hosea, or somewhere, you know, some little scripture that they're going to go, wow, this guy, man, he found the scripture. Man, he knows the stuff. Wow, what a great scripture to bring out. And I'm telling you, I really searched. I looked and I looked and I looked and I looked and I looked. The week of the meeting came, I still didn't have a scripture. The day of the meeting came, I still didn't have a scripture. The hour of the meeting came, I still didn't have a scripture. And I was about to start, and I'm the one who has to get up in front of everybody and say, hi, I'm Gary Ladd. I'm the pastor at this wonderful little church. Would you stand with me in honor of reading God's word? Here's the scripture for the day. And I said, God, what am I going to share? Lord, I've been faithful all year long to look for something to wow them. And God said, I mean, he whispered in my ear like he was sitting right beside me. And he said, share the one that you need the most. And I went, oh, no, another one. He says, share the one you need the most. And I was, God, no, Lord, I want to wow them. And he said, share the one you need the most. So I got up in front of that church, and before all the pastors that came for that meeting, and I shared with them the one I needed the most. 1 John 1:9. If you confess your sin, he is faithful and just to forgive you of your sin and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. Folks, there is not a Christian, man, woman, child, that doesn't need 1 John 1:9. Oh my. God cleanses us, and that's how you come to back to that first verse we read of verse 5, that your joy may be full. God cleanses us if we confess our sins. He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. How many of you know the story of the prodigal son? Do I need to preach it again? If you don't need me to preach again, raise your hand. You remember the story of the prodigal son, right? You remember Jesus told the account of the prodigal son. And the son came home from the far country where he had been staying where? At the Hilton? He had been staying at the inn? Where had he been staying? Where was he living and eating? The pig pen. So when he ran out and the father hugged him up, he did not smell like that pretty soap that you find at the hotel. I don't know how many, if you've ever had pigs, they don't leave the trough to go to the bathroom. That's what that mud and slush and slop is about, dear friends. It is a pigsty, it's a pig pen, and it smells like a cesspool. And that's what that boy smelled like when he came home. And I'm going to tell you this. Do you really think that the father put on a new robe on that boy, smelling like he smelled when he came home? Or did he have him take a bath? Before he put shoes on his feet, before he put a robe on him, no, he gave him a good bath. You mean to tell you a secret? Cleansing makes for better fellowship. People and God. With people and with God. Cleansing makes for better fellowship. Do you think that the very next week that boy said, Dad, I think I'm going to make a trip back down to the pig pen. I kind of miss the far country. I don't think so. Not that boy. He knew what was down there. Folks, when you confess your sin, it means you have turned away from that sin and you don't desire to crawl back in that pig pen anymore. It means you said the same thing that about your sin that God has said about your sin. That sin is a terrible thing, that God hates it and you hate it. Confession restores you to the Father. It makes your fellowship right. Does that make sense? Look at verse 10. We haven't gotten there yet. Look at verse 10. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. You know, I think there must be some people out there who must think when I preach like this, I go, goodness, Pastor, you'd think we were such awful people to preach at us this way, to tell us these things. Listen, I've had people say, you know, I've made a few mistakes, but you know, I'm not really a sinner. Well, I'm going to remind you, this is not my word that I'm sharing with you. This is God's word. And God's word says, if you say that you have not sinned, we make God a liar. And his word is not in us. There are no perfect roommates. Anybody say amen? You can say amen and reach over there and squeeze your spouse's hand and say, I'm talking about me. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar. And his word is not in us. Would we make God a liar? Would you pray with me? Friend, even before I pray for you, can I ask you this? Why don't you go to the Lord? Why don't you take it to the Father? Just open your heart and talk to him right now. If you have something stopping the fellowship, you know it. 1 John 1:9 gives you the recipe for cleansing. Confess. Agree with God what your sin is. Ask for his forgiveness. Repent. Turn away from it. Ask God for his cleansing. Empty yourself to God. Tell him your problems. Tell him your sins. Tell him your weakness. Confess it all to him. And tell the Father that you'd like to have fellowship with him again. Amen. That you want to serve him again. That you want that joy back. God has made a marvelous, wonderful way back to him, friend. It's called confession. Lord, this is our confession, that we realize that we are an imperfect roommate, that we are an imperfect servant, that we are an imperfect Christian. and our sin ever stands before us until Christ Jesus removes it. God, help us to confess and to be made right and to be made whole and to be restored to that full joy. God, there's some of us, let me rephrase that, Father. God, all of us need our joy to be made full. All of us need to confess our sin. And Lord, we pray that your Holy Spirit, as we pray, would not only reveal it so that we could confess it, but God, that you would help our hearts to be so repulsed by the things that you are repulsed by that we are brought to you. And when you make us whole, we're walking in the light to make sure that the smallest things are exposed. Lord, help us to walk in your light, not to deny the stain, but to deal with it with you, Father, and be made whole.